Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Imam Nazim Pasha, and you are listening to El Islam-based conversations. We want to get started here. We're going to take about an hour's worth of time to do what we have to do today. There's just so much going on, so much information, and I want to contribute a little bit. I want to us to recognize that getting knowledge just for the sake of knowledge is not Islamic. It's not healthy. It's not beneficial. I remember hearing the word jack of all trades and master of none. I attempted wisdom. It fell on deaf ears sometimes. It fell on fertile soil. But what I've been able to understand a little bit better now that I've opened my mind, opened my heart to it, opened my spirit to it, is that I don't know as much as I think I know, but I know more than I think I know. And that's the duality of life. There was a saying that Imam Muhammad, not a saying, a quote, or a point of inference that he made that was very much important, and it gains importance or it gains value because the source of the message isn't us. Sometimes we claim it like it's ours and like we did it. But nothing occurs without the will of Allah. And that statement alone has so much power. It puts things in such perspective that it's unbelievable. But then once again, that we were just listening on the class that I was in, it can also appear as a contradiction. Because sometimes we'll ask ourselves, well, if it's that bad, Allah let it get that bad. No, our not following the guidance of Allah let it get that bad. But now that it's gotten that bad, there's nothing that we can't fix up or that Allah can't fix up. And since Allah made all this for us anyway, he allows us to play a role if we would like. What would you like to help to do to move the people away from the darkness into the light? And if you've really been studying yourself, when that solicitation goes out, you'll raise your hand and say, well, I can sweep streets. I love words. I can paint. I can draw. I can design architect. And it goes on and on and on. So when the call is made, see, we make the call to prayer. But when the call is also, as we know, it's not just spiritual and ritual, it's also social, which means, yes, know about the material. Concern yourself with the material, but concern yourself with applying it in a balanced way, and you can't apply what you don't know if you don't know it. So if you haven't gotten the social aspect of the whole process by a simple procedure, you make the call, right, you can't leave out one without doing the other. If we do, we're asking for trouble. So once again, what happens? We can't blame Allah because we left out something that was important to the whole scheme of things, to the whole equation. Brother Mark's on the phone now, and he was talking about how valuable it is to know the basics math to get to the higher math. Well, it's the same thing with life. We get the basic knowledge of know how. Know what? But if we don't know why, it's not going to be the same. And the people who do know why, they're going to constantly be ruling over our lives and making fun of us as they do it. Because they know that we don't know, and that they're saying, it says, a little bit of knowledge is dangerous. We know just enough to get us in trouble. Because our application of what we do know is superficial. It's on the surface. It's basic. It's not as fundamental. It's not a foundational. Even with the hint from Allah, I created you growing like a plant. And then you can see I created you growing like a tree. Once you grow a little bit more, you don't want to be satisfied with just a plant. You want what the tree can bring. And as he was mentioning in the class today, the higher it goes up, the deeper the roots go down. So is that talking about a tree? Yes, yeah, symbolically it's talking about the tree, but it's also talking about us as individual human beings. The more we want to know about a given thing, the deeper we have to dig to know about it. So when we get to that level, we get acknowledged as being a sister deep. Because somebody recognizes, even on a small urban level, the amount of work it takes to get whatever we accumulate to get to do what we need to do, which are skills, tools, whatever. It's not an easy thing. Because what? If it was easy, everybody would do it. Everybody would do it. But it's not easy. But the invitation is made to everybody. And that's what we're doing today. We're making an invitation to join in the spirit of Ramadan class, get something that you lack, get a situation that you enjoy doing early, late. It's out there. But before we can really get what we need, not what we want, what we need, we got to identify our own self. We got to go on a little discovery trip. What interests us? What calls us? What defines us? What excites us? And then once you do that, now you know you're going to eventually, it's because your discovery has made it. You made it not because you saw somebody else doing it. You made it because you enjoy doing it too. And then generally what happens, what? Birds of a feather flock together. That similar, same person, likes what you like, and you find them not trying to imitate you, you find them not trying to necessarily be you, but be like you, and then you be like them. And then the exchange takes place. You share what you know, they share what they know, and together, you know more. You still maintain your independence, but there's an interdependence that develops because you don't know what they know and they don't know what you know. Therefore, there's a need for an exchange. And when the exchange takes place, you know more, they know more. And guess what? It never ends. You never stop using that process. Because there's so much to know, you never exhaust the need to know. Because the minute that you think you know and you will know it all, you fail. You're looking for a deep dive because you've gotten up so high with what you know, but there's still so much more to know. But our ego and our big-headedness and our urges and spirits that's not checked. See? Checks and balances. Check will keep you balanced. If you know how to check, it will keep you balanced. But at the same time, you have to do what? Protect. Purity will be
the protection. Innocence will be the protection. Because our little old ego-driven ego-driven bouts. But we then got a little tipsy with what we know. Gotten to the point where we think certain things, fat meat's not greasy, they used to say. And that's simply a hint, what, to the wise, getting a little bit beside yourself, getting a little big-headed, talking like this is more, you playing a greater role than you are. Asking that you may be the conduit, asking that you may be, qualify yourself to be the messenger, which means what? You're trumped by the message. It's not your message. You only qualify yourself to take the message. And then when you get it to its destination, when you get it to the ears and the hearts and the minds of people, you don't believe you made a Muslim or you converted a Muslim or you got a Muslim in your community, that you're the imam or you're the sheikh. No. God blesses us to do that. And then we give the credit to the God that blessed us to do that. And what does that make? It makes sense. That makes us stay humble. That makes us have perspective. That makes us know the context and the content that we should be doing things. And what follows after that? Success, progress, because that's what you do. You follow it by sequence and succession and progression, and that will produce success and progress. And then, as it says now, as you're getting the picture to be able to have the competence, which produces confidence, the sky's the limit. And guess what? There is no limit when it comes to the sky. That inference and that objectivity to look in a certain direction and you'll see endlessly, and now you need a telescope to see a little further, and then there's still something more that you haven't seen with the telescope because there's still more. What does that produce? Humility. How can you not be humble by something that big and you've been blessed to get excited about it, to get motivated by it, to get knowledgeable about it, and you're going to take that little bit that you have and go and make a world of difference. Listen to why we say that. You can now make a world of difference because our universal concepts they're not limited to who wants to know what we know, and that we can share it because we know, and it's because it's universal. What makes it universal? The Creator does. He makes it universal, so now you can take and have the results that you've been looking for, the respect and the recognition that you've been looking for, because you've got something that's worthy of all of that. And you and I took our time to learn something so we would know something, so we could do something to make the world a better place. So thus you can see why they say, now you can make a world of difference. You won't get rejected because what you have to offer is universal. People will recognize its value because they'll recognize it's bigger than both of you all. You brought it. I received it. Now I got it and I can give it. And what does that make me? It should make you very humble. It should make you say a sincere Alhamdulillah. All praise is due to Allah. See? And the more we glorify Allah, the more we get an opportunity to make a contribution. Not that Allah needs it. It's the demonstration on our part that we're qualifying ourselves. We're humbling ourselves. We're emptying ourselves so that we can fill ourselves up with premium octane,
pricier, costlier, but what? Better than just regular fuel. More lasting. More beneficial to the car you put it in. So when you remove the gas, when you remove the car, and you put human beings that way, same thing. Thus, the people learn words, vocabularies, and how to use those words that are in your vocabulary to help others, to help themselves. You now are able, we now are able to be charitable. We can add value to the situation that we find ourselves in. Not to beat the chest, not to become braggadocious, not to say, look at me, how you like me now, not to rub it in anybody's nose, not to feel high and mighty, and, you know, if we just look around with some degree of being circumspect. You're not just looking around to see if anybody's noticing you. You're looking around to see if you are losing track of anything. Have we paid attention enough to what we're doing to where it's going to come out right and we're going to be able to go full circle? Started up here with the fact that it's Ramadan. There's a lot of Ramadan studies and lessons and sessions and everything. So we are not going to do anything but add value to the specific things that we're going to talk about because the occasion warrants it. The call is made. He that will, let him come. Many are called, but few are chosen. But that's kind of contradictory. How can you get called? See? It's saying that few will choose, see, to do the work, to stay the course. As they say, to get her done. Because we can do a little bit as soon as that sweat appears, as soon as that little ache appears, because you're using legs and lungs, and you're not exercising those legs and lungs. So when you use them in the manner that you use them, to the degree that you're using it, you begin to feel it. So what should you do? Better prepare yourself. See? Plan. Fail the plan. You plan to fail. See, now we know the source of this wisdom. The logic behind it. Why it sounds so good. It just flows right out. Puts it in perspective. Gives you the ability to check yourself or check others with it. Because the source. And our fascination with these things, whether it be math or whether it be words or whatever it be, books that, you know, our mind was the Reader's Digest. Then Encyclopedia Britannica. You know, I didn't know that wasn't something that was in the homes of any of most, a lot, too many black people. First of all, they couldn't afford it. Those books put you in touch with the world without you leaving your address. You stay right there at home, did your homework with those books, went to school, made a grade level A, B, C, or whatever, but you enhance your ability and your interest, and you committed yourself to one day, I'm going to travel to some of these places and see what it's really like. It's fascinating to read about, but it's even more fascinating to go and visit, to travel, to further your education, to really see hands-on what it was like to be in these places.
You can lay there and you can dream and you can fantasize and we can do all of that. But to actually go to the location, actually go see these phenomenal places on God's green earth. I say that to say this here. If you're not careful, you will lose perspective, not just because you'll lose it. Someone will get you to lose it because you'll get drunk with the fact all of this is mine. No, even if it was, be serious and be sensible about it. And listen to what Allah says when he gives us perspective about it. It's there. It's there to be had. But remember, it's bigger than you. And it can and will destroy you. Will destroy us. Because we got fairly competent with it and about it. And we start filling our Cheerios. And next thing you know, we're delusional. See, when we have the desire to know, you use the formula that I just heard. You use the known to follow the to find the unknown. But on that path, here that we should have good intentions, because matters are judged by intentions. So if you're looking for glory, if you're looking for those to bow to you, kiss your ring and all that, it's not going to end well. Because all along the journey, you weren't checking those kind of things. And you weren't aware that what? That Satan will be lurking in the places that you can't see him. And he's going to come at us. So if you have a desire to be wealthy, he could plant in you and in your thinking, I'm wealthy now. I can become uppity. I can dismiss people. I can not hang around certain people. I can treat people poorly. Mistake. Now that you have all this stuff, you should treat people better. The less fortunate should come up on your radar, and you should be ready, willing, and able to do something to help your fellow human being. You can vet the situation and determine that they actually need it, but don't be guilty of giving out of just your right pocket and keeping the good stuff for yourself in your left pocket. I went to Hajj, changing the subject a little bit. Allah blessed me to go to Hajj. A lot of things in Hajj to remember. But I remember this. And I now know why I remember this, because it was the thing that was put it as best as it could. Because Hajj is it's just never-ending rituals that have such profoundness about it. But anyway, what stayed with me and still stays with me to this day, I'm coming to you 314-833. What stays with me and it stays with me until this day. And I'm going to paraphrase. And it's the last part of the quote. But it goes like this, that when you do whatever you do over here, go back to your home or your locale and share with others, perchance that they may do with it more than you. You were there. You were right on the site. You went around the tower off. You went to, stone Satan. You went to Safa and Marwa and back and forth. And I went to different places and everything. And, you went to Mount Arafat, everything, all the things that are important. And you went to the Prophet's Mosque, and you went to Medina, and went to Mecca, all those places. Got the Zamzam water, everything you can think of. Sometimes you can't see the forest for the trees. so much going on, you might not have just zoomed and focused on one thing, and next thing you know, you lost sight of what the whole thing was about. It was there to go, fulfill the fifth pillar, and embrace the bigness that this big old world has to offer, and look and repeat what we talked about earlier, that once you get to that level, sky is the limit. There's no telling what you may come to know, because there is so much to know. So let me stop that and let me get Brother Mark in here and see what's on his mind, and move forward with what we got. We got about 30-some minutes left, so that's good. Oh, hold on. Get that out of the way. Okay. There we go. It's running. Brother Mark.
Yeah, assalamu alaikum. Your radio listening audience. Actually, I inadvertently hit one.
Okay.
But I want to say that how much I've been enjoying Al-Islam-based conversation. And, you know, we have to put all knowledge into perspective, you know, in terms of how we'll never know everything. That's for sure. But we have to stay with the fitra. You know, that original nature, we should really, really study it. And
yes.
Imam Muhammad once said to us, the best way to study it is to study the baby, to study the child, and see their tendency. They have in them natural curiosity to want to know, But they also have infused in the fitra of the original nature is servitude. Is fused to the original nature of a baby, and you can see it when they get to be 2 or 3 years old. They begin to ask, "Mommy, can I help? Daddy, can I help? Let me help. Can I do something?" that's servitude that's in that original nature, and we should never use that, lose it, and then so when we look at in terms of gaining knowledge, we want to practically apply the knowledge. You know, Imam Muhammad gave us something. I think it's a gold nugget when he was talking about wisdom. He said wisdom is knowledge applied with mercy. Wisdom is knowledge applied with mercy. And, you know, this is how we should share knowledge with others in terms of show mercy. And even, you know, sometimes you wind up getting into a debate with others. So Allah says in the Quran, tells us, you know, that we should do it with beautiful preaching or beautiful teaching and wisdom. Just think about if a child came up to you, don't even have to be your biological child, not even a member of your family, and say, "Imam Pasha," and ask you a question. Well, you would have to give them a beautiful teaching. And, you know, as you said earlier, that's a master key Imam Muhammad had given to us many, many years ago. Let the known lead you to the unknown. So to actually reach them, to teach them, you look at them, the age and stage where they are, and what is it that they know? And so you start with what they know to help answer, give them an idea or a concept, what it is they don't know and they're asking for. But you also, you want to be merciful to them. Why? Because we came down that path too. And so we never want to turn anybody away, and especially our young people, because we have to understand the future. That's innate. It's there. This is the way that we learn, you know, in terms of asking questions and wanting to know. But then we also have to ask the question, what happened to many of us that now we no longer have a desire to even want to know? You see, that's very important. And so last thing I want to say, we often hear, you know, that saying, it was reported to Prophet Muhammad that said that the hand that's given is better than the hand that's receiving, or the hand that's in a position to give is better than the hand that's receiving. But what about the hand that's closed? Whatever it is mm-hmm. that you have, whatever you have, you may have that, or more rightly stated, it may have you, but you can't get anything else in that. So that's why Allah says in the Quran, spend out of that which we have provided for you. And so when he speaks in terms of like third, second person or what in this regard, he's speaking for the whole of his creation, what we have provided for you, meaning that that his creation, his natural creation, and all that's in the creation, what you see, this creation, what you see and what you don't see, even the angels and all of that, what we have provided for you. So when we look at this blessed month of Ramadan, it's truly a blessing. But I used to teach my children, a blessing is not truly a blessing until it's shared with others. Because Allah don't give us this just for ourselves. That's what you call selfish. And the acronym for selfish is sinking extra low, finding individual success hard. Sinking extra low, finding individual success hard. We were made and created to be interdependent. And that's very important, that if we're going to have a natural progression, we're going to be interdependent. And we're going to be dependent on some member in our family and vice versa. Then we're going to be dependent on others in our neighborhood and vice versa. We're going to be dependent upon communities and vice versa. And on and on and on we go. I could say more, but I think I said enough. I'll stop there. As always, I enjoy Al-Islam-based conversation. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam, and thank you, Brother Mark.
Alhamdulillah. Welcome.
You know, I love to have people on who understand, you know, the value of teamwork. And it's not to say that everybody doesn't. It's just to say that when you do experience it, you see how much further you can go with it than without it. Because Imam Muhammad and everybody just said those things and whatnot, but when we really look at the body of knowledge that was shared by him for us and the world, we see how much it benefited us, you know, in so many areas. I mean, I grew up in a family where my grandmother was the master of one-liners. And she said a whole lot and kept you thinking for days and days with what she had to say. And she was the master of deductive logic. And it went like this. If she said or we said, I'm going to go down to Mark's house and we're going to play and I'll be back at 3. If I get back at 4 and I'm telling her I'm late because I stopped over to John's house and played with him for a little while, she's going to ask me, what did you say you were going to do? And what makes you think you can change it without consulting me and changing the original instructions that came from me? So once I begin to understand the value of what she was saying, and I didn't think it was fair anymore, I mean, I knew it was fair, I realized that I was the problem because I didn't understand deductive logic. And then when you apply it like that to the situation that you find yourself in, it always works. Because you said you're going to do this, and this is what you should do. You shouldn't do this and then turn around and try to do that. Because you changed the whole scheme of things. And you'll see that the way that you approach it that way, and by approaching it that way, our lives will get better. Because what it does, it simplifies things for us and by us. And once we can make it a thing that's simple, it's not simple. It's still complex. But we simplified it to the point to where it's more manageable. And what does that do? It eliminates stress. And it also allows us to create a system that can be used to leverage the big stuff or the difficult stuff. And therefore, once we get that out of the way, it's what? Smooth sailing.
And that's the desirable thing. Work hard, but also work smart. And these little maxims like I'm beginning to understand, they work so well. You hear them so much, and that's something else, I think, less productive, counterproductive, but still it's there. But if you can go back and get some of that wisdom that they want to call old now, or they want to call the good old days, or whatever they want to call, what's wrong with bringing the good old days back again? And they'll never be the same. The world that the good old days produced, that terminology, and it was heard and was said frequently, that's not coming back. But the basic, as Brother Mark was saying, the basic environmental nature of helping your neighbor, helping people less fortunate, knowing that that child is a good sign to look at. Because one of the things that we didn't mention that they do that's going to be valuable throughout your life, whenever you fall or fail, don't give up. How many times in the course of the journey to learn to walk like other people he saw or she saw walking before they realized, I'm going to do that one day? And sometimes the parents speed the process up and you got a little bow-legged child because their little legs wasn't ready to do it yet. But to get the attention and, oh, he's walking, he's this, he's that, we have them walking prematurely, and next thing you know, they got bow legs. But that's another conversation. But really, I think Imam Muhammad gave a perfect example for that, that we should, if you want to really look at human nature. Now, the other thing that he added to that, if you really want to see how life works, look at the human body. And it does some other things, but, you know, the duality is consummate with the human body. Two coming together to do one. Right hand, left hand coming together to give the job, get the job done. Right eye, left eye, not seeing singly, seeing wholly. One sight, one vision, two eyes, one ear, left ear, on and on and on and on. One lip, upper lip, lower lip, on and on and on. So it's not an accident that it's placed like that, that it benefits us like that, that the five senses are so centrally located. And once we use them, what do? They give us the window to the world. What you see, now you can get, you know, because that's what you've done. You conceptualize it, personalize it, and now you can actualize it. And there's one that can go three different ways you say that one right there. But it simply means you've made what you need to make more manageable, and now it's attainable. You know? Attain, maintain, sustain. So why does it have that flexibility? It has that flexibility because we're not the source of the knowledge. We're the inheritor of the knowledge. It's our inheritance that we're getting, and we're applying it. And it should make us, what? Grateful. In fact, the fact that it should make us grateful is the one thing that Allah says almost after everything that we do, but we don't appreciate it. They did this, I did this, and they were not grateful. Don't you think we should be very grateful for the month of Ramadan? Our annual checkup, check in, check out, you know, regain, reset, refine, all of that. All of those words can come into play when you realize that Ramadan is there again. And like the brother was saying, it's the month of that the Quran was revealed entirety, but the process started where now what we're benefiting from happened all those hundreds of years ago, and it keeps happening, and it keeps refreshing us and reminding us and recentering us and resetting us See? We have that to look forward to. And if we don't lose sight of what it's supposed to do, it won't be just like some other holidays from other faiths that's become so commercialized that that's what they're thinking of. It's a holiday to go shopping and buy all these things because it's coming up. Easter's coming up. I remember going to get my little Easter suit and my little Easter shoes. What was the name of the store? I forget it. Not Jack and Jill, but it was something like that. But those stores were a part of the process. The culture had places for you to go do that. Now, it's all about the money. It's all about consumption on the part of us and them, selling us a bill of goods to get us to go do because of Easter. In fact, it rolls out. I think Easter's going to be in April. They started at least 2 seconds after Valentine's Day was over in February. And it seems like a good business move, but what it is, it's overshadowing and commercialization of something that used to be a religious little affair or religious ritual that has something to do with you trying to do what you think God wants you to do as related to the occasion. And there was the other part was like dessert. Go get the Easter eggs, you get to keep the eggs, you get to do, you know, it got to be the fun part. But the other one, reciting from the Bible and telling people, God bless you and God thank you, we thank God for you, and just a spirit of having a relationship with a creator and a God that was inviting you to do your duty so he could reward you. And that's the same thing with Ramadan. It's most of the things that Allah says that is for us, but this, he says, is for him. And once again, we have that little contradiction there. The contradiction is that we're not hearing. Well, if we read about it, we're hearing you're getting connected to the fitrah. You're learning how to let you control it and it not control you. Okay? I'm doing that. But when you do it, when you take the time to do the legal and the unlegal, not do the legal and the unlegal things for the whole day, no matter what the... You know, we start around 6 and we end around 6. So that's around 12 hours. Sometimes it gets up to 15. Sometimes it gets more than that because it rotates. And so what is that? Another mercy on Allah's part. Another wisdom on Allah's part. Nobody gets to stay in this position. It rotates and it moves. Longer days, shorter nights, longer nights, and on and on and on. So what is that? That's the wisdom that shows us how to prepare a certain thing to where it doesn't lose its value. It doesn't lose its logic. It doesn't lose its appeal. It doesn't lose its attractiveness. Because you see Allah telling you, that you are a part of something and I want you to be involved in it. So I tailor it so that it is attractive. And you see, when Satan comes on the set, he tailors his stuff so it will be attractive. He tempts us with something that should have appeal in the scheme of things, but not for the reason that we're doing it. Vanity can take over. A person can be reduced to body parts. And sex and lust can take over because you've reduced the person down to a body part or body parts. And the attraction isn't this find a mate to get married. The attraction is your imagination and your sexualization of the situation to where you think you want to get in bed or have intercourse with this person, or you want them to have intercourse with you, and as long as it's consensual, it's okay and acceptable. But you look at the other things that go with it. We're not light bulbs. You can't just turn it on and turn it off. And you can't quantify what the act does once you do it. Then you begin to see it's not intended to be played with like that, that I say and do anything I have to do to get you in bed, because I reduce you to sexual parts, sexual objectification on my part. And then it's gotten so twisted to where now you are using it to cause me to want to do that, and then later do other stuff to enhance your finances. Because a lot of people are doing a lot of things just to get paid. Okay, if you're going to objectify me, now you're going to have to pay me for certain things that you were trying to trick me into doing for free. So what happens to the world when we're doing that, when we're allowing that to happen? It's going down, down, down. Standards are going down, down, down. Values are going down, down, down. Morals are going down, down, down. And it all started in a vicious cycle of someone giving no more value to this human body than to think it's something that you put this scheme together, put these words together to get it a consensual act, and all is well and good. But once again, like I said before, once the act has been completed, what does it leave the condition of the person in? And now it's not even just the male tempting the female, it's the female tempting the male, but also the skullduggery or the seduction part of it. It goes both ways. And now you have, quote unquote, what they say, gold diggers. And people who see your value, and they use their sexual objectification to get you in bed and get a child by you to get alimony and child support. And now we accept it. Hey, they out here playing like we are. But how did it start? It started with us objectifying and making sex something that it's not. Never was intended to be that. But it's become that, and now it's out of hand. And people are looking at the diseases and all the other stuff it's causing because no one stopped and checked it. They didn't have the moral well-being to not, and you don't check it by necessarily checking somebody else. You check it by checking yourself. Once you decline, you strengthen the other individual with your declining. And then it becomes attractive, and you see more and more people respectfully declining because the little bit of pleasure is not worth the pain that you get afterwards. Okay, so let me stop that there. We got about 10 minutes. I'll get Brother Mark back on. Brother,
yes,
Mark.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum again. Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah. You know, valuable conversation here. Very thought-provoking. You know, when you were speaking about when you was a boy, I guess I was a boy about that time too, and how they tried to keep with the tradition and everything, and that you learned something, there was there was a reason for the season, but now it's all commercialized, and you know, you don't even get the reason for the season, the misconception, the misperception that's there. You know, the last class that we had before we have these daily classes, with Imam Rashad Abdul Rahman, the question was asked in terms of the person thought that when it said that fasting is, I said Allah said fasting is for me, they thought that was part of the Quran, but it's not part of the Quran.
Okay.
It is okay. From Hadith Qudsi. It's not.
Oh, okay.
So it's not part of the Quran. But also think Allah is As-Samad, meaning that Allah doesn't have a beginning nor does He have an ending, and He's independent of everything. He's independent mm-hmm. of everything. He's not in need of anything from anything in yeah. his creation, like God in the creation. So now let's look at this again. It was reported, they said that the prophet said that Allah revealed to him that fasting is for me. Okay, so if a person looking at that just based on the grammar, it's like mm-hmm. Allah is in need of our fast.
Mm-hmm.
So what the instructor gave makes more sense. He said that Allah is saying fasting belongs to me because the
mm-hmm.
rest of that hadith Qudsi is fasting belongs to me and I will be the one who reward my servant. You see?
Mm.
So in other words, if we see it from that perspective,
yes.
now we see that it's ownership. It's not in terms of that God needs fasting from us, you know,
right.
and how we say it, you know, fasting is for me. Like, as if and go, though Allah or God is in need of our fast. He's not in
right.
need of any. He's independent of everything. But it should rightly be said that fasting belongs to me, and the rest of that hadith Qudsi is, and that I will reward my servant. So
yes.
if you, in other words, if you and I, that we are ab, that we serve Allah, and we obey Allah's command, then we actually are working, for Allah, but we're the ones that are the beneficiary of it. There's a reward
right.
for
yes.
doing that. And so if we see it like that, and then the ultimate goal is some of us have a misconception and perception to say, well, this brings us closer to Allah, and this was said today in class, but it brings us closer to what God's will and plan and purpose for us in terms
mm-hmm.
of our creation. So we can't just say, you know, from Allah we come, to Allah we return.
Right.
Imam Muhammad, he tweaked that by saying, from Allah's will we come, and to Allah's will we'll forever be returning. Because when we look and study the biology, some say trillions of sperm, some say more than that, billions of sperms, all trying
mm-hmm.
to reach that one egg to fertilize it. But it
right.
was Allah's will that you and I, that sperm that made it manifest a realization that it was Allah's will, because we're here. And nothing
right.
happened unless Allah permits it or allows it.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's very, very important, you
it
know,
is.
For us to understand that Allah has the power of will to bring into existence that which he pleases. And
right.
we have will, but it's a limited free will. This is why
yes.
whenever we make plans, you know, and all, Imam Muhammad taught us, he said we should say that man plans, but Allah has already planned, and Allah
mm-hmm.
is the best of plans, meaning that his will prevail over everything, all things.
Right.
And then if what it is that we plan, if it becomes a manifestation, a realization, then we say, mashallah, we know that
mm-hmm.
was in accordance with God's will and plan. I just wanted to say, give that little 2 cent word, because I think that helped Muslims and helped us from going off the edge and giving things in a way, a manner. So, well, I thought you say that God is independent. He's not in need
right.
of stuff, but you saying fasting is for me. He's saying fasting.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
If fasting belongs to me. Okay, so, you know, if we went to the doctor and he wrote a prescription and we had a reaction and then we went to another doctor, then the other doctor would say, well, whose prescription is this?
Right.
Whose prescription is this? And so this is Allah's prescription. And it was an old prescription. And one of the big differences is that doctors have to do a diagnosis and maybe give you a prognosis, and then they'll give you a prescription, and they don't know if that prescription is going to work, whether you're going to have a reaction or you're going to respond to it. But Allah doesn't have to wait for you to get sick or get a disease. He already knows what it is that we need because he's our caller, he's the creator. So he knows what it is that we need because he is the creator. He's Al Alim, he's the all-knowing. He's Al Basir, he's all-seeing, As-Sami, that the all-hearing. So he's Allahu Ilam, the best knower. So he can do that. He can give a prescription, an inscription that he put into the nature of the human being because he knows what it is that he created and he knows what it is that we need. So we're the beneficiary of being obedient servant and obeying the parameters that Allah has set in this blessed month of Ramadan. I'll stop here. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, my son, Brother Mark, let me ask you this question here. Would you recite that, not recite, but share that schedule for the Ramadan, for the...
Oh, yes. So the beat goes on here on IWDM Radio because tomorrow is Tuesday, and so is the very distinguished, esteemed Rashid Salam, who hosts, along with his recurring guest, Instructor Abdul Shaheed, the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab, and it's on the Ramadan schedule. It will begin at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, and it will air for 1 hour tomorrow. That's the Ramadan schedule. And on Wednesday, it'll be the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with the very distinguished team, Dr. Patricia Slaudine. That's my co-host. She joins yours truly, Mark Shaheed. And that will be at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And all of these times moved up is in respect for those on the Eastern Standard Time Zone to have time to prepare for breaking their fast on time, making salat to my group and the iftars with their family, friends, or community. And we moved, at least I moved, the MGM Roundtable, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, to Saturday. And it will, only through the month of Ramadan, it will be on, it will air at 1 p.m. Eastern, it's high noon Central Standard Time, and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time. And I'm going to be dialoguing with some of the outstanding intellects that's in the community, Imam W.D. Muhammad. Last week, last Saturday, it was Imam Dr. Nasir Ahmed from Miami, Florida, who just recently received the Presidential Lifetime Achievement Award. He was nominated by Khalil Camacho Ali, the former wife of the legendary boxing champion Muhammad Ali. He was on, and so please tune in for that. 1 p.m. Eastern, high noon Central, and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time, the MGM Roundtable, Muslim Global Message Roundtable. Friday, Salatul Jumu'ah Day, it is Imam Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sayer, and Salatul Jumu'ah begins at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 1 p.m. Central Standard Time and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. Sunday is the longest-running production on IWDM Radio, Words Make People. And once again, the very distinguished, esteemed Imam Mikhail Sayer. It's every Sunday afternoon. It starts at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's high noon Central Standard Time, and it's 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time. Words Make People. The beginning of the week, you just heard it live here on IWDM Radio. Our very distinguished, esteemed host, Imam Nazim Pasha, ABC. That's Al-Islam-based conversation. And it starts each and every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 5 p.m. Central Standard Time and 3 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. And I want to say, please let your family and friends know about the Ramadan schedule, as these shows have been moved up and have been reduced down to just about an hour in respect for this blessed month of Ramadan, so that you would have time to prepare yourself for breaking your fast on time, and also making your Salat al-Maghrib and also the iftars that we have all across the country. Don't forget the Muslim Journal, as we support the Muslim Journal here on IWDM Radio. It is a subscription and is also a prescription that we all need. And since we're in the blessed month of Ramadan, as you well know, Imam Pasha, everything is amplified and multiplied. So whatever good it is that we do, tenfold in terms of the barakats, the blessing that we can receive. So with that being said, this salam is for you and yours. Back to you, Imam Nazim Pasha.
Thank you very much, brother. Very valuable information, because this is what I said like before. It's a team effort. I'm not going to hold anybody or even hold myself anymore. I'm going to end with the greetings the way I began. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Looking forward to seeing you again next Monday. You know, right now I'm not so much worried about numbers as I'm worried about, not worried, but I'm concerned with content. And I know if the content is right, Allah will bless me with the numbers. And that's the thing that you earn, and we just learn to be patient, and we learn to deliver the message. And then the rest is in Allah's hand. We just got to saying that. Nothing happens unless it's the will of Allah. And so if it's Allah's will, we will continue on this journey, and you will join us on this journey, and we will try to grow to the level that where Allah sees that we're trying to make a contribution to turn America around and turn our local communities around. You know, what we used to say, this of putting the neighbor back in the hood. Very important, very, very much needed, you know. Not to just know the person and borrow sugar from them or borrow milk from them, but that you actually are genuinely concerned for their well-being. And you're looking after them and looking and being a model example. You know, we don't have enough role models today. So if we can join the ranks of those that are modeling the type of lifestyle and behavior that is first naturally and normal, but also that has a God consciousness to it. People said, I do or I don't do what I do because I believe there's a God. I believe there's something after this. And if you will accept that and educate yourself about that, you'll have something that's working in your life, for your life, for the rest of your life. So take that to heart. We'll see you again next week. Thank you again for your participation. And we say Ramadan Mubarak.